In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Before we get into this episode, I just want to have a quick disclaimer. This episode was recorded well before quarantine, well before social distancing. So if you see us making references to being outside, throwback, just know that we're not assholes. This was pre-recorded in advance. So thanks for listening and enjoy the episode.
9-1-1 emergency. Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine here with my favorite co-hosts,
Casey Balsham at CaseFaceB. Hi.
Hi, and Danny Murphy at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K.
I love that you guys introduced yourselves and your Instagram handles at the same time.
Listen,
branding never sleeps.
In case people don't, make it to the end because we talk over each other. Yeah.
That's true.
That's my thing. Follow me in the middle of the night. That song.
That is true.
That train song, right? Yeah. See, everyone stopped listening because I brought up Train the band, so they'll follow us.
Oh, I love Train.
Right?
Listen. I don't hate them. They're good, like, I don't know, drinking outside music.
Yeah. Oh, they were my, like, I had an 89 Honda Prelude that had a skylight, and I just driving on the five. A Prelude or a skylight?
Yeah, a Prelude.
You don't know what a Honda Prelude is?
No, I don't think I've ever seen that
I
before.
I think it was everybody, it was a very... big first car.
Really?
I don't know what any car is.
Everyone in my town had like a Toyota Corolla or like the PT Cruiser.
Okay,
I almost got a PT Cruiser.
I had a PT Cruiser.
And that's on brand for you.
I thought it was so cool because
we all did.
Cool. Thank you. But now everyone's making fun of them, and I'm like, don't you dare.
We all thought they were cool, but then we were like, these are like Volkswagen Beetles, but more stupid. Somehow.
Oh no, they're chodes. But I loved it, and it
with like wood paneling on some of them on the sides. Like,
mine was red, of course. Yeah.
I used to listen to Train with the skylight open, just driving around Southern California, just being like
living the life,
just imagining that I would one day be in New York City as a comedian using microphones that everybody with coronavirus has. So
look, none of us have coronavirus yet.
Believe it.
So you should
dreams
be safe.
Come true. Yeah. Thank you, Train.
Hey now.
Yep.
Hey now.
That's not one of their songs.
I know.
No, but that's Hilary Duff.
But it was Hilary Duff.
This is what dreams are made
of.
That
was beautiful.
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
Oh my God. Danny is already cracked out.
I know. Yeah. I'm using a reusable coffee cup and I feel like it's, I don't know what's in it. Who knows? We'll see.
Oh, my life.
I know.
A reusable coffee.
I'm like, yeah, so.
There's mold and coffee.
If your grandkids have a planet, you're welcome.
Single-handedly, you and Greta.
Yes.
Greta and Danny for prez.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No,
I'd vote for that ticket. Fuck it.
That would be hysterical. I would do it just like to get, I would just get ridiculed so much on the debates and then I would just take everything so personally and it would end very badly for myself. But it'd be funny. Maybe.
That would be so funny.
I think
have a song for every question or a pun.
I just start quoting New Jersey. I'd be like to Joe Biden, you got the wrong fucking girl, Joe. And then
I would
be like, what?
I would
love
a candidate.
And then you flip the podium.
Yeah. Absolutely. A candidate who only ran
I'm
on
like, housewife
quotes. You are
engaged 19 times.
Oh my God.
They're like, so what are you doing for healthcare? I'm like, oh.
You're all, don't get sick.
Oh my God.
Stay home. I would just be like,
wash your hands.
Or I'd be like, face mask, guys. It's self-care.
Yeah.
Honestly, we'll talk about
I'm going to be like walk around the streets with a sheet mask on because they ran out of surgical masks everywhere. And I'm like, this is the same.
Also, we all know I just need a PSA. Like those don't help you.
No, you're only supposed to wear them if you have it. So now I'm you fuckers have it. Or but it also but somebody did say when you wear them on the sometimes people wear them on the planes because you're breathing it in. It like lubricates. You know how planes dry you out and stuff like that. Oh, like
ew.
Helps with your like throat and stuff
planes
like that.
You get you're just like inhaling
that just sounds unpleasant, like you know when your face
moist.
Is really cold and
you
try to sleep with your head under the covers but then you're like breathing in your own carbon dioxide.
That's it.
I last like 10 seconds and then I'm like I need actual fresh oxygen.
that's Sarah's presidential campaign slogan. I last like 10 seconds.
thank you 2020.
2020. Okay, before we get started on the episode or the game, I wanted to just issue a correction. So we, I don't remember which one of us, but one of us like thought that Jose Baez had defended Scott Peterson, and then someone said it so confidently that we all just ran with it. Casey,
because it was somebody.
It was incorrect. It was Aaron Hernandez who
there it is.
Wait, makes way more sense because
that's why I was like,
one was in Florida, one was in Connecticut. It's like, how would this dude have been all the way in like Modesto to defend Scott Peterson in 2002.
That's why it also didn't make sense, because I was like, it said it was his first case, like with this Casey Anthony.
Right. You were like, no. So much at the time. And I was like, Scott Peterson was in 2002. So we
I've been
getting
confused with Baez the whole time, because I also thought it was somebody else.
You thought it was John Baez,
I know, right? Easy mistake.
Sorry, you guys. Did we get a lot of fact checks?
We got a couple. Yeah, we got a few. So
I appreciate it. As long as you're not a dick about it, let us know when we fuck up.
And that's the thing. All the DMs I saw are like, hey guys, just to let you know. I'm like, I'll take a hey guys. I'll do that.
I'll take a hey guys.
Yeah, anytime with the
hey guys is hey guys. Love the show. By the way,
you're idiots.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. It's not just straight.
Nicer than my friends talk to me. That's perfect.
Jose Baez, Aaron Hernandez, not Scott Peterson. You heard it here second.
Sorry, y'all. Oh, so then is there? Did we say it in the second part of the, or did we just say it in the first part of the Casey Anthony one?
I mean, what am I going to do? Yeah. Issue another correction next week? Like, it's fine.
I want to do a special ad.
This will be fine. Insert a spot. Yeah. Okay, so also, like, everybody really liked the super secret escape trait, which is what we're calling it now, or escape plan?
What do we decide? I'm going to pull it up. I think escape.
I think it was escape trait.
I like trait, since we use trait anyway.
Okay, so I wanted to read a couple that you guys posted in the group. Not another true crime group. Go join it. Okay, so this one is from AJH, a true
AJ.
Fan. The
AJ.
Best. He says, my super secret escape trait is that when I used to go on Hinge or Tinder dates and one of my friends wasn't available to be on fake and emergency duty, I would set a timer for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I would make the timer alarm as the sound of my ringtone. So it would be like I was receiving a call. If I was enjoying myself, I would turn off the timer and continue the date. If I was still unsure but wanted to continue the date, I'd repeat the timer for another 20 minutes to read the room. If I straight up was not having a good time or got a weird vibe, I would excuse myself or take the call and say it was an emergency. I would also change my lock screen to a screenshot of a phone call. So if your phone, if my phone did light up, they could see that I
was
on
a call.
That's a
lot of work,
that
AJ.
AJ, damn, that is impressive.
He's
and also
thinking.
And also I love that you missed the part where you put in parentheses, when I used to, I now have a significant other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess it works. It works. It works. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've never had to have a friend like fake an emergency.
No, and now I'm wondering, have people
done
that?
I'm just like, you just have one date and then you get out of there and then you just pretend you have to be up really early the next day.
That's right, yeah.
I low-key love the screenshot of the call. That's incredible.
He's doing more than most ABC procedurals do, because when they're on phone calls, it's just a black phone.
So, oh, I know.
Yeah.
My sister even said, we were watching one of the doctor shows, and she was like, the stethoscope's on the wrong way. Like, nobody's fucking fat.
How is it on the wrong way? Is it like backwards?
Yeah, there's like, there's a way to put it on. She's like,
that's hilarious.
That's not the right way.
Oh my God.
She should get it. I mean, obviously, people in the medical profession like to continue working in the medical profession, but like, wouldn't it be so cool to just work as a fact checker for one of those shows?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure that they've got people, because I mean, all those words, how to pronounce them.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
All right. So the next one. Jasmine P said, when I feel sketched out, I call one of my close girlfriends and start talking reckless. So if anyone wants to kidnap me, they can hear that I'm ready to pop off 50 Shades of Crazy on the next Inconvenience, and they don't want
it. Oh my God. Genius. I love reading all those stories in the news that were like, man tried to kidnap child, but then he started singing gospel and the guy gave him back because he was too annoying. I'm like,
guys, this is why I break out into song so much.
I'd be like, hey, oh my God, this is so exciting. Actually, like, this is really good for my podcast. If you don't mind, could you?
Like, I also think it's funny. Like, what if you're her friend on the other line that's like, what are you even talking about right now?
Right?
You know, like, why are you shouting at me?
I know. Why do you actually have to call another person and involve them in this? Like, you can just pick up, just pull like an AJ and pick up your phone and just start talking nonsense.
Change your wallpaper.
Change it up.
So funny.
Yeah, these are good. Okay, the next one is from Cassandra W. When I was younger, I watched a lot of CSI, so I'd convinced myself that if I was ever kidnapped or murdered, they'd find my hair at a scene and immediately be able to identify my body or who was there with me.
No.
Apparently, I thought forensic research was magic. As a result, anytime I felt threatened, I'd leave hair on the train seat, in a restaurant, on the sidewalk for years. I mean, I just do that anyway because my hair is just.
Yeah, I'm doing it accidentally.
I just left like 50 strands in his office.
What if she accidentally gets like her hair is found at a crime scene where they're looking for a suspect and she's like.
Because it's like blown in the wind for 10 years.
Wait. Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, here's the last one from Sean K.
Is that? Sean Kelby?
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Ah! Oh, sorry,
he tried to be anonymous and funny.
Yeah, so he put his own name trying to be anonymous.
I know, Sean, right? You know I don't keep secrets.
I know, we only know one Sean K in the entire world.
I was gonna say, yeah, actually, I know a few, but yes.
He wrote, when I was 9 years old, I was convinced that burglars were going to climb in through my bedroom window and ransack the whole house. I was also convinced that if they noticed me sleeping in my bed, they would almost certainly kill me. That's when I realized that if you just put a pillow over your head when you fall asleep, people can't see you. He writes, big brain moves.
Oh my God.
That's how I spent the rest of my entire childhood, probably to the age of 12 or so. That's not the rest of your childhood. Falling asleep with a pillow over my head. And you can't say my methods didn't work. I never got killed the entire time, even of suffocation from sleeping with a pillow over my head.
Oh my God.
That
Sean.
Oh my God. I just imagine like
I love that. It's like if I can't see you, then you can't see me.
Like
huh?
Object permanence. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I like little like baby Sean too. I just imagine him just like with his pillow, like
isn't it funny the things you thought of when you were a kid?
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was so afraid of quicksand as a kid.
I was
I really thought that would be a big problem and it just wasn't.
I remember my friends came over one time knocking and they were covered head to toe in clothes and they were just like, there's killer bees.
What?
And I was like, oh God, we can never. I was like, no pools, no food, nothing. We can't do anything. There's killer bees. Like, they came over and they just had like glasses on.
Wait, were there ever killer bees? Was that
a
thing?
I mean, I think
bees are dangerous. Like, if you're allergic,
I think every few years there's always like, oh, there's a bunch of bees around. But like, you know, it just gets blown out of proportion when you're younger.
Well, that was like, used to be terrifying. Remember, like, do you guys have cicadas?
I was about to bring those up. They were so creepy. They come like once every 10 years
and,
or
like,
so.
And
they just leave all the shells like perched everywhere.
It's very like, it's like they come from the ground too. It is
like, it's very like roaches, right?
Little House on the Prairie. Like, it's fucking disgusting. They're so loud.
Yeah,
they're like crickets on steroids.
Right. That's right.
And they just leave their like fucking carcasses everywhere.
Yeah. Like,
I forgot about that until just now. What a nice 10 years I've had.
I know, New York. I don't have cicadas because I don't see trees. I just smell urine. So you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, we have... Germs.
But you know,
I was like, were you going to continue that thought?
I was. You know where, I was not.
You know apparently. Where there are a ton of trees, though? And I know this for a fact, because once again, our case for the day is from the town next to where I grew up.
There we go.
Westfield, New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
Again. Westfield.
Next again.
I feel like a lot of the cases that we do, I'm always surprised that they happened so recently when I think they happened a long time ago. This was the opposite. I thought this happened a lot more recently.
I mean, it's in our lifetime, but it's
I thought this happened in the 90s. I mean, he got caught, I think, in the 90s, but I thought this like had recently happened. I was like, damn, they got to clean up Westfield.
True. Oh, but they do.
So we're
it's a very nice town, but there's obviously backstories.
There's creepy shit.
And
so
everybody likes to write letters, apparently.
And I know. What is with these fucking letters?
Oh, well, there is a really good paper source there.
No, it's going out of... Oh, wait. That's papyrus.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I need to go across the street and just load up.
I went into one, though, the other day, and it was like literally just like Christmas cards.
There's like a tumbleweed.
And like, you're 10.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I don't know anyone.
I know.
10.
I'm always like, oh, I could stock up on Christmas cards for next year, but I'm never going to remember that I have them.
Oh, no.
No. All right. So we're talking about John List. You guys, some of you have requested it, but mostly we just want to shit on the town next to Danny's town. we should do that in the town next to my town. Do like,
wait,
I don't know what's happened in Roslyn or like New Hyde Park.
Ooh,
I'll look it up.
It sounds like Roswell, so maybe aliens.
Like Roswell, Georgia?
New Mexico.
Oh.
Roswell, Georgia.
I was like,
I don't know.
You mean the famous town of Roswell,
Georgia?
Even though I am running for president of the United States, I don't know where Georgia is.
The first debate is like, Danny, can you list all the states on a map? And he's like, I can do New York and California and Texas and maybe Florida.
Oh my God. Did you guys ever watch Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, the game show with Rockapella?
No.
Nope.
Well, she, oh, fuck you guys.
Sorry.
Anyway, one of the challenges at the end was that the kids had to go put like these things on maps. And I remember just being like, how do they know where anything is?
Nope.
They had to do like all the different countries. Like I remember thinking whenever somebody got the United States, I was like, oh, that feels like the easy one. But then I was like, I wouldn't know how to do that. Yeah, right.
We were so close to starting the episode, and then I got us on another tangent.
And I started talking about maps.
Not a true crime tangent. I mean, that'd be a fun spinoff. Wait,
yeah, I love that.
That's our Patreon.
Yes, that should be. Okay, John List. He was born John Emil List on September 17th, 1925.
Virgo.
Born in in Bay City, Michigan.
A lot of them are. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the thing?
That's what we're saying.
A lot of them are Virgos. Someone,
some meme like said it was Tauruses, and I'm like, or some other sign, basically. And I'm like, no, we all know it's Virgos.
Ooh, Robbie's maybe a Taurus.
Scorpio.
I'm a Taurus too. It's not us. We're fine.
It's not Tauruses. It's definitely the Virgos. Okay, so he was born in Bay City, Michigan to German-American parents. He was a devout Lutheran and a Sunday school teacher, and his father was too. Mm-hmm. In 1943, he enlisted in the Army and served as a lab tech in World War II. In 1946, he went to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, and got a bachelor's in business administration and also a master's in accounting.
Damn.
Impressed. He served two more tours in the Army, one with the U.S. Army Finance Corps when they realized he was good at accounting. And then while he was stationed in Virginia, he met Helen Taylor, who was a widow of an officer killed in Korea. He also served in the Korean War.
Yeah, that's what the two tours, like they got. It got all crazy, so he had to go back. But then they made him in
the
finance.
Accountant, because they realized,
So then Helen told John that she was pregnant, so they got married on December 1st, 1951. I can't remember if I read this, like, about another case, but wasn't she not actually pregnant?
So that was the thing, is that they found she wasn't really. I didn't know where to put this in because I, because it kind of like ties it. No. It kind of ties into something else that I. That happens to her later, but she
something.
Yeah, well, no, that she was. She said she was pregnant, and then it turns out that she wasn't. But he,
but he'd already married her, and he couldn't divorce her because he was like very devout.
But then I also read that because she had syphilis, she had a lot of miscarriages, so there could have been a chance that she was pregnant. So that's why I was like, I don't know where to put this.
Interesting.
But like some of the articles were like she said she was pregnant, she wasn't, and then some of them were like she.
What I read a lot, she just had a lot of miscarriages.
Yeah, she had a decent amount of miscarriages.
Okay, so. They get married in 1951. John kind of bounced around a lot with his jobs. He was very smart, but like he would always have these personality clashes. Yeah. So he would just get fired a lot.
Happens. Don't we all?
Don't we all? They moved to Northern California. Then he worked at an accounting firm in Detroit. Then for a company in Kalamazoo. Then they moved the family to Rochester to work for Xerox, where he worked his way up to director of accounting. Then he accepted a position as VP and comptroller of a bank in New Jersey. Finally, he moved the family into a Victorian mansion in Westfield, and Helen picked this out, and it was like this huge ass house that he could not really afford.
It was one of those houses that was so nice it had its own name. Do you know what I mean? Like those.
Oh
like
yeah,
the
like
very
the. Didn't the no the watch?
It was
house
called Breeze Knoll.
Breeze Knoll. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it had the Spreckles Mansion.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It had 19 rooms. It had a ballroom. It had a marble fireplace. And apparently it had an original, like, signed Tiffany. I think it was like a stained glass window.
Or but something. They didn't know that. We'll get into this
later.
It's wild. But that's, I mean, this is, it had rich people stuff. He was doing rich people things. Like, there was like
first
a lot
of
shit going on.
Why do you need 19 rooms in any kind of house unless you're running an Airbnb?
That
you
is
need
West a yoga room. Fuck. Yeah. A fainting room back
an
then.
An avocado
a
room.
A fainting room. You're right. They had one of those.
You need a smoothie room.
A room for
like a cognac room.
Knitting.
You need a plastic straw room.
Ooh, not me in Greta's house.
Yeah, no.
But you have fun with that room, Casey.
I'm just saying things I see.
Yeah. Casey's like, I spy a microphone room. Mm-hmm.
So besides it, so we're talking about when now that he's settled down in Westfield. So his life in 1965, kind of what we're saying, it seems American dream-ish.
Very much so, yeah.
So he's an accountant living in Westfield, New Jersey. Him and Helen ended up having three children, Patricia, John Jr., and Frederick. And also his mom, Alma, moved in with them. Because obviously, if you have 19 rooms, your mom can
I think
fit.
It was because she lent him money for the house.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it was kind of like, all right, yeah, I'll give you some money, but I'm going to live here. And they were like, okay, cool.
So yeah.
We have 18 rooms to spare.
Yeah, truly, like, you'll never see her.
Yeah,
it's truly
literally.
An apartment complex.
Yeah. She was like, she was literally living in like this like thing upstairs that like I think
she had like
all
her own kitchen
stuff.
I think
she had her
very
own like
Jane
it was
Eyre.
Like an apartment upstairs in the thing
that is that's
wild.
Yeah, and a kind of a reinforcing everything. They were devout Lutherans, and yes, religion was a major part of their life,
yeah, especially like going to church belief, all the time,
everything like that. So, like we said, it's sort of all around the American dream. But yeah, of course, we know with American dreams, it doesn't always.
It kind of breaks sometimes, doesn't it?
So then, moving on to his life, and we're getting to like 1971. He lost his job at age 46 because of, again, these personality clashes that were sort of going down. Mm-hmm. But he, the other job leads turned out to be nothing, and he couldn't get a job. But I know he was too embarrassed to tell his family because he felt like a failure and classic, felt like it wasn't right, and felt like it was kind of going away what his like almost God-given purpose was to provide for his family, yeah, to be this well-rounded person. So I know I even read that he would just go to the Westfield train station
and sit there
and sit there, yeah, and read a newspaper until it was time to go.
Or he would go and get on a train and then just come back on another train.
It, yeah, reminds me of a Jean-Claude.
Oh, no, it's very Jean-Claude. It's got very Jean-Claude Roman vibes, yeah, yeah, you know.
Again, he was too embarrassed to go on welfare as well, so yeah, he wasn't.
Didn't also it like religion kind of tie into it?
Yeah, so like,
yeah, Lutherans view poverty as a sin.
Yeah,
sin,
and it's, which is like, yeah, what?
How? Like,
that's not fair.
Poverty is circumstantial and like governmental, yeah, and so many like it's not.
That's like weird. People pick what they want out of the book.
I mean, you're to pick right.
Yeah, yeah. You right. Religion. You right. So his father ingrained taking care of his family in his head, so he thought that he wouldn't approve. So he couldn't ask anyone for money. He couldn't ask anyone for help.
Yeah.
He couldn't turn to his family. He couldn't turn to his church. And those were kind of his two major pillars. So he started to think that the world was turning his family to sin. So he started thinking about, obviously, like what this all meant, trying to rationalize it with a higher power in a sense.
And he also started skimming money from his mom's account too.
Yeah, to pay to cover the mortgage and hoping that she wouldn't find out. Apparently his daughter maybe was dabbling in pot, big Westfield energy. There was, they a also Starbucks said that
possibly
there,
like witchcraft. Like, yeah, I think
he, possibly, yeah, witchcraft. She also like wanted to be an actress and he was like, that's the devil's work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He thought like, yeah, the outside world was like completely like taking, yeah, over everything.
And I mean, there's a lot of woods in Union,
I mean,
County.
They do call it the devil's lettuce, so you know.
She deserved it.
I'm like, kale? No.
That so is really the devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce. Yeah. Me.
Yeah. Or just like it's devil's hard, like rough toilet paper.
It's spiky. It's plainy.
It's spiky. Oh, man.
It's like, do you like tacks? Do you want to try them with dressing?
Do you want to try it with tahini?
Yeah.
So then on top of this also, his wife Helen was losing vision, blacking out, and falling down. And
same girl.
On top of that.
Yes. Right.
And also was drinking heavily and was leaning on tranquilizers. So
because, yeah, that's what you just give people in
which
that
I feel
day
like, where like, did this, like, was she blacking out and losing vision because of tranquilizers or the reverse? Well, or was it like I a vicious cycle, or was it because of the syphilis?
I was going to say it could be one of the side effects of the syphilis. The, yeah, syphilis, because it was found out that she had it from her first husband, which kind of what we're talking about at the beginning caused her to have a lot of, yeah, miscarriages
before the three kids. Yeah.
So she obviously was dealing with a lot of pain, Jesus, and just kind of not,
I know,
maybe I would like not all day, like Helen, just struggling. Helen raising Helen Hunt. Not Helen Hunt. No relation. I don't think, yeah, so.
Please don't come for us. Don't, we don't think heads, you, don't we don't think you have us. Syphilis.
Headhunters.
I just want a normal boyfriend.
Yes.
Yes. So she was embarrassed by all of this, unfortunately. So she stopped going to church, and kind of overall, no one in the List house was doing well.
She's a bit unstable. Yeah, so, she's getting a bit unstable.
Yeah, we had John's mom, Alma, who was like just pretty old. John clearly struggling, thinking that his family were sinners, that he was, yeah, being tested by God, all of these things happening. Helen with medical issues, some like drinking issues, blacking out, all the stuff, and then, yeah, a daughter who wants to get a BFA. So no one, it's kind of, who's the, right, worst one in the bunch?
The biggest sin of all, the one who, know, wants to be an actress. Yeah.
Right, right.
What do you do with a BA in English? So then John thought, between the loss of his income and the sin, that the solution clearly was to kill his mother, wife, and children.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, as it is. That's why, like, the one thing I was reading was, like, yeah, his father wouldn't approve if he used welfare, but, like, would he have approved of this? So.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Murder.
Yeah. Yeah. Murder. So, this really does remind me of Jean-Claude.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Really, it's very interesting.
Totally, it's like the same, kind of.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
a weird thing. Much. Not even just, like, an idea of masculine, just feeling like these roles that are assigned to people through society and religion, being like, well, you're the man. You need to, like, provide for your kids. And, like, then instead of just admitting defeat or struggling with that, you pivot full 180.
Or like, look, just fucking run away. Like, I don't understand. Yes. You don't have to murder anyone. Just run away.
Run away.
Leave them alive. I shouldn't be advocating for like ditching your family, but in this case,
It's like, what? It's like, I guess the guilt of just leaving them instead of just
and he thought that he was like
their
saving their souls by killing them.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So this is what she told you what happened. On November 9th, 1971, John decides to wake up and make some choices with his life.
Yeah. So many choices.
He eats breakfast, and then while Helen is drinking her coffee, he shoots her in the head. Then he goes upstairs, and his mother is like, what was all that commotion about? And he kisses her on the head and shoots her. She was 85 at the time. Then Patricia comes home from school, who's 16. She comes home from school early because I think she was not feeling well.
Yeah, she complained that she wasn't feeling well.
And he shoots her. And then Frederick, who's 13, comes home and he kills him. And then this is the part that is always, it's a bit of a yikes, Sarah.
A bit of a yikes.
He goes to his son John Jr.'s soccer game. John Jr. is 15. He goes there. He cheers on the sidelines of the soccer game.
Nothing's happening.
Drives the two of them home. And then he shoots John Jr. And John seems like he's the only one that kind of put up some fight because there was, I guess, evidence of like a misfire. Mm-hmm. But he shoots John. And then
he shot him 9 times.
Yeah. Ugh. He shot John quite a few times. And then he placed all of his family in sleeping bags. So except for the mom, he couldn't get the mom down the stairs. So he kind of just left her. But he put his wife and his 3 kids in the living room on top of sleeping bags. He cleaned up the whole crime scene. He was very meticulous about how he did that. And then he wrote a 5-page letter to his pastor saying that he thought poverty would turn them from God. So to ensure their safe arrival in heaven, he killed them. And that's why I said, why does everyone in Westfield write fucking letters?
What is with the letters, John? The postal service illegal over there.
Yeah.
Like, should be hand-delivered
shit only. It's like, who is writing
only email.
This?
Do you want to know a weird tidbit? The old post office is now an Urban Outfitters there. So
random.
So they're trying to control it.
There's that. I know. Westfield is doing the part.
They're like, we think everybody should look like Tom Petty instead.
Yes.
Which is all the clothes at Urban Outfitters.
Oh, literally. And like records. Like, you don't need Halsey on a record. That's just my PSA.
Honestly, true.
Like, let's call it.
If you weren't alive when people were playing records, like, don't put your shit on a record.
Oh, my God. So he decided. So John was like super, super meticulous. He was almost like anal about the way that he was like taking care of all this stuff to make sure that everything was tracked. He closed all his bank accounts and cashed out his mother's savings bond, which at the time was $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
He cut himself out of every picture in his mansion.
That shit is just hilarious to me. Like, he spent the time with scissors. Like, why not just take all the pictures?
It's smart.
Yeah, but why not just take them instead of just cutting like your face? Maybe, it's so fucking funny. It's like 1970s Photoshop.
But maybe it's like because he wanted the bodies to still be recognized. Like, by
just think that's hilarious. He's like, all right, now I gotta take this.
He's removing himself
and also,
completely.
That's an interesting. Like, I wouldn't think of most of the things in this. That's such a like intricate detail to think of, to be like, they're going to be looking for what I look like.
Yeah.
I will make sure they can't find me.
Yeah.
He was like a really smart, like meticulous person.
Very smart. Yeah. So he cut himself out of every picture. He canceled the deliveries to his house, milk, mail, and newspaper.
The double MN.
He contacted a children's school to say they were on vacation for a few weeks. Like, he was like, oh, we're going to be visiting family in North Carolina. Like, no big deal. Then he turned on the AC to preserve the bodies, left the lights on, and turned on his favorite like radio station that was playing like gospel hymns, and just kind of had that on. He slept in the house that night. And then he, that's very, because I think that's very John. Because in John, right, he slept, or he ate lunch, something. I was reading this one article that like so pissed me off. Just the title of it. Like, I got some information from it, but about this, it was like, he almost committed the perfect murder.
Was that the Medium article?
Yeah. Why is it stop? Like, I just don't like the way that they say that. Like, it was almost perfect.
Like the end of Scooby Doo. Like,
it's old man Jenkins.
That article, but it was there was a lot of information about that article. Just really bugged me. You read it too, right?
Yeah. I think I read it.
But so
he slept in the house and then he essentially disappeared for 18 months. He was so meticulous about the 18 years. He was basically so meticulous about the murders that no one even knew for a month that anything was wrong until like the neighbors were like, okay, there's nothing going on. The lights are burning out. The music's on.
And also the Patricia's drama teacher was like, I haven't seen this girl in a while. I read
that too, that they went to go check. I read both things that the teachers went to go check and that the neighbors called somebody. Yeah, so there's like, got to be something in the middle of that.
The neighbors were like, this house is being weird, and the teachers are like, no one is visiting family for this long.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that they were
nobody could stand it.
No. And they're a bit of a reclusive family. And so people were like, okay, they're weird, but this is even like this too weird. Because then there was just like light bulbs just burning out. Yeah. So people were like,
reading that they would just go out like one by one. And then people were like,
what? And then people were like kind of peeking. Like there was just no activity. Like nobody was
And they're playing
entering.
Like funeral hymns.
It's just blasting creepy. Fucking funeral hymns. Yeah. Yeah, that's, it's, ugh. I just the thought of just people. Could you imagine also, like, I also think about like, you know, all the people around the house going about their daily lives, and there's just like four dead people just next door. It's kind of weird.
That's like those people, that guy who kept like those 12 women in his basement or whatever in Ohio or something.
Yes.
Any of those people. Yeah. They're
Castro's. Like Ariel Castro. Oh, yeah.
Was it 12 women?
I think it was around that.
Not 12. I don't know.
We should. That's such an interesting case as well, but it's one of those that makes me like sick to my stomach.
So awful.
Yeah, because they were living. They were just.
Yeah, they were just chained imprisoned. In the basement. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
So on December 7th, authorities finally went into the house. They found all the bodies and also a 5-page note to the pastor saying that he'd killed them out of mercy, saving their souls, blah, blah, blah. So John was actually pretty smart because he drove his car to JFK, but then didn't get on a flight. I think he got on like a bus to a train. And because he cut himself out of his pictures, there were no reliable pictures of him to go off of. But I'm like, did no one remember what he looked like? Right? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, eventually they did. But the case essentially goes cold because they're kind of like, okay, we don't have a record of him on a plane.
On a plane. Right. Yeah.
We don't have a photo of him. So like.
What are we?
They're like, I know. Yeah. So easy to commit a crime in the 70s, man. They don't have social media. Okay, so in 1989, New Jersey prosecutors, right?
And Jersey, you could just do whatever you want. Yeah.
In 1989, New Jersey prosecutors have a plan.
They got a plan.
As
New Jersey prosecutors are wont to do.
Yes.
Plans.
We're not
allowed
to pump gas or vote in Super Tuesday, but we got plans. Let me tell you that much.
We got plans.
So basically, like, in May 21st of 1989 was when America's Most Wanted premiered, and it was like a huge fucking deal. Like, and they were like, okay, let's put this guy on the show. And I read that initially the producers didn't want to, but then the host caught wind of the fact that he'd like killed his whole family and his children. Yeah. And you were like, he's like, let's get this motherfucker.
Yeah, he's like, this guy's scum.
Scum.
Yeah. Scum. So they had an expert forensic artist, Frank Bender, make a bust of what they imagined List to look like, because at this point he's like 60.
Yeah. And they were really smart about that too. They used pictures of his mother and father.
That, yeah.
And then they also were like, he's probably the guy that, because he felt like this was the time he was successful, he probably wears the same glasses.
Yeah, worked with like a criminal psychologist who was like, he's probably wearing these like horn-rimmed glasses to like try to make himself look smarter and like more successful.
Yeah.
And then I read that they were like scouring thrift stores to find like the right pair of glasses. So they make this bust. They put it on America's Most Wanted. 22 million people watch it.
Well, if you don't know what a bust is, I mean, does anybody not know? A bust is basically like a paper, like a mold, like of someone's face.
It's like a Roman
face. Yeah.
Like Roman face. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Roman face.
At the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Yeah.
Children,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So this woman in Richmond, Virginia said that her neighbor, Robert Clark, looked like the bust. And honestly, they showed a side-by-side thing in the Medium article.
Great.
It was honestly so spot on.
No, Frank Bender... Yeah. Those hands are magic.
Oh, yeah. No, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, like, it looked
FBI,
like him.
FBI, Frank Bender is artistic.
I think. Danny, take a lap.
Bye.
I don't want to get the steps. It's too hot. I'll get coronavirus if I go outside. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here.
So this woman said that Robert Clark was also an accountant and attended church. Listen, if you're going to go on the run from the law, you have to switch up your habits. Guy.
You got
to
convert.
Yeah, don't be the same person.
It's the same guy. Yeah. He was like,
do something different.
This, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think he at first worked as like a line cook. and then worked his way back up.
I mean, whatever.
He still ended up as an accountant.
And going to the same church.
Yeah. And looking, going and being a Lutheran. Yeah. Yeah.
And also switch your glasses. Like, right. What do you mean?
Dye your hair.
Switch your glasses. What do you mean?
I want Sarah to now be like a lawyer to be like, what are you doing? No, like switch your glasses. Like now you're guilty.
Really? Seriously?
Like, John, oh my God.
Right? I'm going to be embarrassing his defense.
You're embarrassing me.
Oh my God. Like, I don't even want to look at you right now.
What do you mean? That's great.
Then they go to like speak to his wife. It all unravels. Police arrest him on June 1st, 1989, just 9 days after the case aired on TV.
We were doing stuff with America. The devil
works hard, yeah. But America's Most Wanted works harder.
There we go.
Damn.
And John Lissa's like, I told you the devil was involved. Yeah.
I know, right?
He's like, I knew it.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, okay, so you're John Lissa. And he was like, no. It's like, dude, you're a dumbass. Yeah. Even when fingerprints like matched, even when they matched his fingerprints, he was like, it's not me.
It's like, no, this is Becky. Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, yeah. Shaggy. Finally, he confessed on February 16th, 1990. So, yeah.
And he said, you got me.
Yeah. He was like, all right, well, it was me. I'll admit it.
You got me.
So, so people are like, where the F did he go?
Yeah, because 18 years, there's this whole period of 18 years that he had kind of developed this new life.
And on the
18th
birthday, he found out it wasn't his. No. Yeah. So he traveled by train to Michigan and then Colorado, where he registered for a new social security card under the name Robert Clark.
Who apparently was a classmate of his.
Yeah, who never knew him.
Who didn't know him.
That's weird.
That was like the Robert Clark, because they asked him, he's like, I didn't know him.
Yeah,
like,
that's creepy. Yeah. This kind of reminds me of that Humans of New York thing with Bobby Love.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys read that?
Oh, yes.
That guy who escaped from prison. It was fucking awesome. He escaped from prison and then he had a new identity for like 30 years something crazy. I think it was just really easy to get a social security card back then. Like, you just forged a quick birth certificate.
I don't even know how to get one.
I didn't know you could get new ones.
I mean, I don't know either. I think he basically like forged a birth certificate. So from that, he could get a license. And then from that or something like that.
But like, you still have to like type up birth. Right? Like, I've seen my birth certificate.
I can barely renew a license. I can't
my
do
birth
it.
I mean, I'm birth certificates are janky as hell. They're like handwritten.
Mine's expired too.
Yeah.
What's expired? Your license?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go get the whole enhanced thing.
Well, that's
you
why I'm just going to wait out for the real ID. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when does the real ID come out?
It's already started. Well, it started in New Jersey, and I think you have to get it. Like, it's only.
But I think you need a birth certificate to get it.
That's
why my mom gave me
mine. Somewhere.
Yeah,
like,
I have
where?
One. I have a social.
All right.
And it's like, I know I came with one.
I know I was born.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's wild that you could get just a social security card with something, because it's like, I feel like just to get a fucking New York ID, I had to bring four forms of
like
identification.
The 70s, so, yeah.
70s really were.
I miss
tight.
The good old days. Yeah.
I know, right?
You could smoke with kids.
Whatever happened to simplicity? What is that? What's the Full House
whatever
song?
Whatever happened to simplicity?
Oh, yeah, you're right. What is it?
Whatever happened to predictability? Why did you try to make me say simplicity?
I don't know. Because it's my remix.
Whatever happened to simplicity? Wait a second. Complicity? Simple titties? Whatever happened to simple little titties?
So, kind
call
of.
The hotline.
Call the hotline.
You know what happened to simple little titties?
Oh, Robert Clark does. No, so he started working.
Don't do a tie-in with the murderer with titties.
I'm getting us back on that train from Michigan to Colorado.
Yeah, that worked better.
And what we said, he worked as a fry cook and line cook before going back to accounting. And so he met Dolores Miller and married her in 1985, and then they moved to Virginia together. So that was the wife that they started asking questions about when all this came out, and then it sort of just all.
Think if you were Dolores, and you were like, "He did what?"
I know.
Yeah. Excuse me. He did what?
She's like, "No."
That's just like the craziest.
And he leaves the toilet seat up.
And they're like, "Let's lock him up right now."
Yeah. Fucking lock him up.
It's crazy that you would do that to your first family and then just be perfectly chill.
That is.
After that, like, how? Well, he's disturbed.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a mix of like. The ability to murder and then just like compartmentalize and also with that, because like
with that deep religious,
but then it's like, so you never had any of the same problems. Yeah. Like, he never got fired again. Like,
I guess his personality, maybe. Because he also moved jobs on a lot, because he was just moving his way up, so maybe it just hasn't caught up to him then.
I don't know,
because like from fry cook to accounting. Yeah, but I also feel like, too, with, like, the five-page letter, he was, in his mind, he sort of felt like, oh, well, he did what he should have done.
Yes, and with the deep religious beliefs, it was almost as if that, like, he, in his mind, he was justified.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's wild. Anyway, he, of course, goes to trial after he confesses and all this stuff. So the trial starts in 1990, and I love this. It was like the defense was like, no, he has PTSD from World War II. Like, you can't, he has PTSD.
Or like the Korean War.
Yeah. And the psychologists were like, he's having a midlife crisis. They also thought he had obsessive compulsive disorder.
I mean, OCD, psychologists were like, well, you lived perfectly fine for 18 years, so this doesn't really track.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the prosecution was like, none of that's excuse for killing five innocent people. There was also this thing that he apparently, his wife wasn't feeling good, or his mother-in-law, like, there was something was also going to happen. Like, the mother-in-law was going to come visit, and she ended up not doing it. And he had said later, too, like, if she came, he would have killed her, too. So there would have been six victims.
Wow.
So, like, that's also a little fucked up.
Just a little.
So, yeah. So just defense is, like, PTSD. Psychologists were, like, it's OCD. And prosecution was, like, I don't know. He killed five people, so fuck
Let's
off.
Call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every person with OCD is, like, no.
Yeah, they're like, I've never, I
they're like,
that.
Absolutely not.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I feel like I'm going through a midlife crisis every day. I go through every kind of crisis every day. And I'm not like, you know.
I can't just kill five people. I mean, I could, but I would go to jail.
We're all just buying, like, adult.
Yeah, just buy a BMW
bucks.
Like everyone else.
Yeah, I just get a oat milk latte and just feel, you know, that treat myself so to an $18 right piece of coffee.
Oh, truly.
Piece of coffee.
Yeah, it's weirdly frozen. She's caught it. She's eating it with a fork and knife.
Have you tried oat milk? It's thick as fuck.
Okay. Is it really?
Oh, yeah, two C's. So good.
I love oat milk.
Thick with two C's. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Girl.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There's no K in the thick I use.
No.
He was obviously found guilty, and he was sentenced to five life sentences with no chance for parole, mm-hmm.
which was like the most severe sentence they could have.
He got a life
him.
For first degree murder five times.
I also wanted to say that they were like, well, why didn't you commit suicide? And he was like, well, suicide is the biggest sin.
Yeah.
Oh, you have that there? Sorry.
Yeah. No, well, he said
the second biggest sin, going ahead on the podcast out loud.
Right?
No, he did. He did an interview with Connie Chung in 2008, and he was, that's Maury's wife, for those of you that don't know.
Wait, I did not know that.
Yes.
Connie Chung and Maury Povich.
Wow.
Yeah, in 2008, he gave an interview and said he didn't kill himself because then he thought it would prevent him from getting to heaven to see them.
I love that logic.
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
But he was sentenced, no chance for parole. He also, like, as it was happening, he took no responsibility, stating that it was because of his mental state and he's unaccountable for what happened. And he also tried to appeal, stating that his letter of confession was a private letter to his pastor and should be dismissed, but that was rejected.
This guy reminds me of our Jean-Claude, because he, like, didn't he have that, like, really bad, like, very transparent suicide attempt? Wasn't he the one who, like, put himself in a room, but the window was open?
He took pills, but with an
expired
pills, but with enough time for them to get him.
Yeah.
But, like, didn't he also, like, set a fire in the house, but left a window open?
No, because he burned the house down.
Yeah.
But it was very apparent that he wasn't in the house.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember this happening.
I'm remembering that from something. Celine Dion, it's all coming back to me now. We'll think on
that. No.
I think it was him. I think he took the sleeping pills. He, like, laid down on the couch. He set the fire, but left the window open, and the garbage truck was doing rounds.
I don't think he was in the house. I don't think he was in the house when he set it on fire. But we could look. Cause I thought it was obviously enough time to revive him.
He did set it on fire.
Ha!
But was he in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But he took the pills. He was in it.
He also took the pills.
Yeah, like, it was all of
the things. I thought he set it on fire and, like, went outside and took the pills.
No.
Let me see.
No, I think he was, like, in a room.
And watched it burn.
Okay, now we're getting so much. Let me
see. Now we're back to Jean-Claude.
Sorry, guys. But they're so similar.
It's very, very similar. He said he didn't want to commit suicide. Because he wanted to reunite with his wife and kids and mother in the
afterlife.
He was
like, God will forgive me for the murders, but the suicide.
He's always been thinking of him.
No.
He was inside?
Yes.
The whole time he was still thinking of his wife and kids. Like, and later on, many years later, he would actually show some remorse for what he did and said that he felt bad and all that stuff.
Call JoJo because it's too little, too late.
It's too little, too late.
I'm seeing her in May.
Oh my God, wait, really?
Wait, guys.
Come. When?
Tickets are cheap. May 18th, I think.
Where?
Terminal 5. Everyone,
I hate
come.
That place. Okay,
I hate it too. But anything for JoJo.
Okay,
she's so good live.
We'll talk about this after. If you guys want to come with us to see JoJo,
I don't know.
Let us know.
Have
put it
fun,
in the group.
Kids. I'll drop you off. Mom will drop you off.
Okay,
we'll
perfect.
We'll go to El Centro before.
Yes.
Oh, I love El Centro.
Love El Centro.
AJ, come through.
AJ.
Anyway, he died in 2008 at the age of 82 of a pneumonia in a New Jersey prison. So that's the end of him. Yeah. He went to jail. He died in jail. Yet to see if he was reunited with his family in heaven. we have no idea.
That's on our Patreon. No, we don't have
the Patreon interview with John List.
The Patreon, yeah.
With his ghost.
We're talking with God.
Yeah.
One of my major shocks about the case is that they were able to find him so fast from just a bust.
Yeah.
And it shows the power, because I mean,
everybody was watching TV at that point.
Yeah, that's, and also like the premiere episode of America's Most Wanted, they were able to talk about this case, and then that he was found in 7 days. Like, that's
nine. They moved real quick. Yeah. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I always think about that. I'm always like looking at the Amber Alerts and watching the news, and I'm like, what are the odds that I would ever actually recognize someone or a 2019 Toyota Corolla or whatever?
Like, I'm wondering though if the neighbors already kind of felt like he was a weirdo.
A weird vibe.
Because there were like, I read a few articles that were like, no, he just was a bit, like, he was meticulous. Like, he would like organize things on a desk. And then there was a cut, I think the Medium one that was like, oh, people said he was a little off and he was a little odd. And
yeah.
And
but would explain why he was constantly getting fired for like issues, like personal issues.
Yeah, but that's also the only article I read that, and the other ones just were kind of like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like read like a few, and that was the only one that was like,
I think I heard it on a podcast too. I listened to like True Crime Daily or something like that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
And then do we want to talk about the weird stuff? Because I remember we put a pin in the Tiffany stained glass.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sort of, so some of the weird stuff. So he was the inspiration for Kaiser Soze from The Usual Suspects.
He was, yeah. And as well as like, there was a couple other little like, you know, like crime TV. They did a couple like reenactments, but it said he was the inspiration for Kaiser Soze.
And then also, Sarah pointed out how, and we were saying how like the Tiffany skylight was so very rich and opulent and stuff like that. It was worth, back then, $100,000, which I think I saw was like, is almost like 619
which
grand
is crazy
now.
Because it would have solved his financial problems a few times over.
That's like times a lot.
Which is like kind of the saddest part.
And then I guess because like when they bought it, like they just never, you never think of that, or you don't, no one was
or
really,
they didn't know.
They didn't know about it. So, and then besides that though, the mansion mysteriously burned down months after the murders. Yeah. And I know even like to say people don't like to walk by it, just like that plot on Hillside Avenue. It's a very weird. Yeah.
Wait, so should we buy the house? I bet it's cheap.
Ooh.
Well, they built a house on, I'm sure somebody lives there now, but I mean, as of 2008, people were still saying that kids don't want to walk by it.
Yeah. I wonder, I kind of want to see like a,
do you think we can, should we buy some property, guys?
Yeah, let's go in.
Okay, should we start a GoFundMe?
We're going to start getting creepy letters from the watcher. Let's do it. That's good for the podcast.
I don't want that.
Oh, there's a really good Mexican restaurant in Westfield. No, Tinga. I love Tingas. Oof, there's a good Trader Joe's in Westfield.
Okay, let's buy this murder house.
Honestly,
I have $5.
I have...
I can take my change.
Wait, actually, now we have a container of Purell. This is going for a lot on Amazon.
Oh, that's
going
to be valuable.
Are they really?
They're now upcharged like $49 more than I think. Like a pack of them. And they're usually like 20. I've been reading.
Wow. I went to...
And it's like selling out.
Yeah, I went to the grocery store yesterday. I bought like two giant like jugs of water, like 2 gallon jugs of water and like a bunch of beans. I'm like, I'm ready.
I'm not prepped in any of that. I don't.
I'm just like paranoid.
No, that's, you're probably, I don't like.
But I'm never going to eat this shit. Whatever. Well, it'll last my 10 years.
It's also the thing where like, I'm not going to survive an apocalypse. I'm like, am I going to live off of beans and water? I'm good. No. I like.
But.
I like
good
guac
diet.
And that expires. Oh, that's true.
You walk and it expires.
Oh no, I saw. I like guac and that expires. Oh, guac. So like, what am I going to do? I did see when I was walking here, a guy walking with a jug of water and a big family size bag of spicy nacho Doritos. I'm like,
what?
He's prepped.
He's ready.
That's his prep. That's how I would prep.
I would just buy like a ton of pizza rolls and like, ooh. I would like how other people hoard water. I'd hoard the White Claws.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to do.
Anyway. Stay alive, guys.
I have nothing else to say.
I can just sing. I mean, I'm in the mood for karaoke.
Danny, sing us out.
See us at JoJo.
Yeah, follow the Instagram.
Wait, should we just start a secret that we're opening for JoJo? And she's like, fuck, I guess. All right, guys, so we're opening for JoJo. Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm not opening for JoJo.
You would love to. She's
get
so
out. Wait, yeah, you wish.
Go! It's too late See? For you.
Also, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, what did she know from cheating? She was like 13 at the time.
I know. Oh, can I manifest something?
Okay. What?
Can we get, because her album's coming out, Betches, you, I don't know who, because she has her album coming out, can we get her on Not Another True Crime Podcast to talk about the crime of her label issue?
That would be good.
Because Meg Thee Stallion is getting in trouble with that
what
now.
What happened?
Because she was caught in, like, label dispute. Like, they were holding her, like, hostage in, like, a label contract.
Labels do that
That's
a lot.
That's why she hasn't done anything until, like, recently. I know Rita Ora happened,
too. That would
too.
Be great.
Okay, that's the Kesha, new manifestation. Sort of. Kesha. I know, because, I mean, Hillary, we still want to talk to you about now the photography laws, your role in Sharon Tate. But, you know, we'll see whatever pop star comes first.
Yep.
All right.
All right, well, thanks for...
I got some emails to send.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Not Another True Crime Podcast.
We're not sure what happened.
NATC Pod.
I have never felt more sure.
Follow JoJo. I don't know what her handle is.
I am JoJo.
I am JoJo. Follow Danny. Cashmere Danny with a K. Follow Casey. Casey Face B with a C. Follow me, Sarah F. Carter. Thanks for listening to Not Another True Crime Podcast. Wash your fucking hands.
Do it.
Betches.